This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 206. I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, we're going to preview the 2018 USEA Intercollegiate Eventing Championships, which will be held from May the 24th through the 27th at the Virginia Horse Center in Lexington, Virginia. In just a moment, we'll be hearing from Rob Burke, the CEO of the U.S. Eventing Association. He'll give us an overview of the championships. And then Leslie Threlkeld will be here. She's the chair of the USEA's Intercollegiate Committee. After that, we'll hear from the organizer of this year's event, Andy Bowles. And lastly, but not least, the course designer, John Michael Durr. Well, Rob Burke joins me now to talk about the intercollegiate program and the championships, Rob. This is a growing program, isn't it? Let's start, shall we, with a little bit of an overview of the program and how it has emerged to be what it is today.
Sure. Yeah. So we started the program about 4 years ago. And at the time, obviously, we were seeing a decline in the number of members we had between the ages of 18 to 24. So kind of that key and we're trying to figure out a way to recapture those students and keep them involved in eventing into the future, and really in doing so provide them with an outlet. So college eventing seemed like the obvious choice, especially when we looked at what some of the other sports were doing, equestrian sports predominantly. So in the first year, you know, I'll say it started a little slow. We just had to get the word out, but it has steadily grown. We now have around 30 colleges and universities affiliated with the United States Eventing Association. So these are 30 programs that have actually paid to be members of the USEA. And any student who joins their team at that school gets a discount on their membership. It brings it down to the same price as a junior member. And now we're well over 300 student athletes now competing and members of the USEA. So it's been, as I've said, over the last 4 years, it's been growing gangbusters. And for the intercollegiate championships, in the first year, I believe we were somewhere in the neighborhood of about 30 riders or so. And we more than doubled that last year. And I think we're going to hold strong this year. The deadline for submitting teams, for the championships is this week. And we already have comparable numbers to last year. I think at my last check, we had about 17 teams had already had signed up to compete, over 60 horse and rider pairs. And we even had some last minute schools added as collegiate affiliates so they can come and compete, including, I know that I heard about the University of Tennessee, Knoxville just signed on over the last day or so. So yeah, it's growing a lot.
This is a great pathway, of course, into the sport and, as you said, to engage that particular age group.
We're very lucky to have Andy Bowles, the organizer of the event, has been an amazing host over the last 2 years, and I know this year as well. And his team from the Virginia Horse Trials and Virginia Horse Center have been just absolutely amazing. They've done a great job of making our collegiate athletes feel welcome, and they've really made it easy on our staff and really everyone involved, and we couldn't be more thankful for everything they've done.
Do you want to talk about the sponsorship, the sponsor family that you now have for that, Rob, for the championships and for the program?
Sure. Yeah, So in addition to all of our usual USEA corporate sponsors, we have had RideSafe has signed on as a sponsor for the last 2 years of the Intercollegiate Championships. The USEF has actually been a paying sponsor, which has allowed us to purchase prizes and really take care of the collegiate athletes while they're there. And then, as always, you know, the USEA itself, our members have supported this program through their memberships, through their donations, and through being active competitors. And then also World Equestrian Brands have also been a fabulous sponsor that we're lucky to have.
And just going back to the pathways, Rob, you mentioned about retaining the youth membership through their school years. Tell us about this new initiative now to integrate the high school, junior high, and pony club into this sure. eventing pathway for the sport.
Yeah, so one of the things, for us, closing that college gap was the first step. We saw a gap for our young adults and we filled it. But now we're going back and we're talking with all of the different organizations, including our own internal young rider program. And what our intent is to create a really smooth pipeline from athletes who are starting out in the sport on up through college and hopefully beyond. So right now our membership committee is looking into establishing a high school / junior high intercollegiate eventing opportunity, much like intercollegiate, so this would be an interscholastic type opportunity so that students from barns around the country can team up with kids their own age and compete. Now, what I want to say, and this is really where Pony Club blends in, I was lucky enough to go to the Pony Club convention just this past year and meet a lot of the kids involved there and talk a lot with the leadership of Pony Club. And what we're going to try to do is, again, take more of a holistic approach. So while we're going to provide a competitive outlet for students, not only at rallies, but beyond. So Pony Club kids, they get an excellent background in horsemanship. And what we'd like to see is these programs intermingle and intertwine and work really well together. And then ultimately another kind of pinnacle event, which we want to blend into this whole pipeline, is the North American Youth Championships. It used to be called the NAJYRC. So really we're just taking a holistic approach. We're going to stop kind of focusing on any one section and again, try to blend them all together, and everybody's talking and we're excited about the future.
Well, that's a wonderful way to, as you say, to retain really the youth membership then and give them the opportunities and the stepping stones through the sport, Rob, and hopefully help the membership numbers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And for us, the reason why the USCA exists, we're an educational entity, we're a promotional entity for the sport, and we're all for historic preservation. And those first two, education and promotion, promoting the sport, in doing so, we need to keep the funnel, the pipeline of people coming into the sport. So it's key to our existence. It's why we're here. And I'm really excited to see our youth programs really take a step up and continue to grow.
Well, we're going to hear from others on the program here, of course, about other aspects of the championships, Rob. But is there anything that you would like our members and our listeners to know about the program more generally? Anything, any contacts, any go-to person maybe who they could find out more from?
Yeah. Sure. So any person out there who wants to get involved in intercollegiate eventing, just go to our website, useventing.com, and click on the education link. And from there, you'll be able to find all the information about intercollegiate, how to get involved. If you're at a college or university and you want to get a team started, there's information on how to do it there. If you want to become a member of your college team, then you'll find information, a listing of all those schools that are currently registered with the USCA. And if you have a bunch of, if you have any connection in any way, if you're a barn in the area that wants to get involved and have student athletes compete, again, the best resource is that website. And also you can always reach out to us here at the USCA, Kate Loki, Claire Kelly, or myself, Rob Burke. We're always happy to help. As well as our membership department with Jennifer Hardwick and others. So, that's what I'd recommend.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much indeed, Rob. And those championships, again, are coming up in 2 weeks' time at the Virginia Horse Center. Rob, always good to catch up. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast again.
Thank you, Chris, as always.
I'm joined now by Leslie Threlkeld, who is the chair of the USEA's Intercollegiate Committee. Leslie, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We tend to circle back and do this, I think, almost every year, don't we, to get an insight into the program and the championships. Now, we've heard from Rob already. He's given us the overview. Now, as chair of the committee, though, we'd like to drill a bit deeper and get your perspective on the future of the program and the championships.
Sure. I mean, it's definitely a growing program, and it has a lot of potential, so it's good to keep updating.
Tell us what's new, then. Unpack that a little bit for us, Leslie. How it is emerging and what you're finding are the new pathways for it within the program.
I think what's good about the intercollegiate program is that the students are so enthusiastic and so excited for an opportunity to have a community of people to support them and to sort of go along the journey with them of continuing to try to compete in college and sort of on into adulthood. And so the students are doing such a fabulous job of supporting the program on their own and creating teams, taking the initiative to build that community at their school. What the Intercollegiate Committee is attempting to do is sort of make the pathway easier for them. This year, what we're doing is we have several outreach projects planned, and so we're attempting to give more information to the colleges so that they are a little more aware of what the students who are maybe coming to them asking if they can form a club or a team, have a little bit more information about what that means and what their role would be, and also inform some of the organizers of horse trials, give them a little bit more information about what a collegiate team challenge is and how they can run one, and what they need to know in order to do that. But again, the students are just, they're really the ones that are keeping the wheels turning here, because they're doing so much of the work themselves.
Well, that's wonderful. And talk a little bit about the outreach program then a little bit more, Leslie. How is that structured, and who leads that? Do you lead that, or do you have people in the field?
We've got a really great committee. We have a committee of individuals who we have some students, which bring a great perspective, having been in the middle of it more recently than some of the others. And then we have some committee members who are faculty at schools, which is another great perspective to have. So we have a great committee, and they're all working together. It's a little bit divide and conquer, you know, because there's a lot of areas, there's a lot of schools. And we're trying to give a little bit of information to as many people as we can. So what we did last year was our big project was creating some guidelines. We had a guideline created for organizers, and then we had a guideline created for students to help them figure out what they need to do in order to form a team at their school. What we're doing this year is continuing the outreach on an area level and informing organizers about team challenges and trying to get them to do more of that, because if you have your students come in and doing team challenges and they have other students come along and say, well, that looks interesting to me, and it helps it grow from the actual competition level. But at the same time, what we're trying to do is reach out to some of the major universities and some of the schools who are maybe already involved in IHSA and give them information about what the intercollegiate eventing program is and how they can get students involved or how they could be involved, and just try and get it going on the education side as well, so that again it just paves the way and makes it a little bit easier for the students that when they go to the school and say, I want to form this team or club, but I need your support in order to be affiliated with the USEA, which is a requirement to compete at the championships, that the school just has some more information and they are a little bit ahead of the game in terms of knowing what comes next.
So how many colleges do you now have part of the program, Leslie?
Let's see. At last count, I looked this morning, we've got affiliated with the USEA, we have right about 30. Now, some of them are not, they have not renewed their affiliation for this year. But it still is holding steady. That's about what we had last year. And it is still early in the year. And what we're hoping, based on what we're doing now with the outreach, is that come fall, when the new school year starts, we'll have some new members.
And potentially, how many would you have around the country then? I mean, that's, I guess, an enormous potential if you think of the whole country.
Oh, it is. It's a little overwhelming to think about. The IHSA, I think, has about 400 participating schools. So it would just be wonderful to get to even close to that, that many. So right now, it's, again, I mean, the program's growing, but we got to get it to where the schools support the students and the students continue to take some initiative. And what the challenge for them is, we have rollover, obviously. Every 4 years, you're going to have a brand new set of students that are involved in the program. So what we hope to support the students in doing is putting in place a club or a team that can support itself as you have new students coming in and students leaving. So that's going to be another way that hopefully the committee and the USEA as a whole can help them do that.
And in terms of anyone that's listening to this who wants to take part in this program, and if then their college is not involved yet, how do they go about it, Leslie?
Well, if their college is not involved and they're interested in creating a team, what they can do is they can go to the USEA website, navigate to the intercollegiate webpage, and there is a guideline there provided in the documents that sort of outlines exactly how they can go about forming a team at their school. And that guideline was actually written by members of our committee who are students or recently graduated. So they have a very good, they had a very good perspective on how to go about doing that. If you need any support or you have any questions, by all means, call the USEA. Kate Loki is the director of programs there. She can help walk you through it. Also, Jennifer Hardwick in the membership department is the one that handles all of the memberships coming in and the paperwork. So those two people are very good people to talk with. And of course, if anybody has any questions about the program in general or the committee's role, I'm happy to talk with anybody.
That's great. And how do they reach you, Leslie?
They can email me, leslie.a.threlkeld@gmail.com, or they can find me on the committee list on the USEA website.
It's as easy as that. Find out more. And that is Leslie Threlkeld, Chair of the USEA's Intercollegiate Eventing Committee. Thank you very much for coming on the program again, Leslie. It's just a couple of weeks now to the championship, so I'm sure you will be busy last minute things then leading up to the championships.
We're very excited. There's one more day to send in rosters, and right now, as of last count this morning, we're equal to the number of teams that we had last year, which is great news. So we're very excited. We have a couple of new first timers at the championships, which is awesome. University of Findlay is sending a team for the first time, so we're glad to have them all the way from Ohio. And Texas A&M once again is making the two-day trek all the way from Texas to Virginia. So it's just exciting. It's such a fun event. Everybody's so enthusiastic, and they just have a good time. The spirit and the camaraderie is just really impressive. So we're pulling all the pieces together, finalizing all the plans for everything, and getting all the rosters sort of set. So we're looking forward to it. And again, Andy Bowles is just the organizer at Virginia Horse Trials, is so so supportive and so keen on growing the intercollegiate program. And this will be the third year that the championships has been at Virginia, and it's just been a wonderful place for the program to start and to grow. And we look forward to the future.
And that's a perfect segue as we lead into our conversation with Andy in just a moment. Well, Leslie, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to come on the program. The very best of luck with the program.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Andy Bowles joins me now, who is the organizer of the championships, and we spoke, I think, last year, Andy, leading up to the event. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
So let's talk about this year's events now, because it's getting some legs, these championships, right? And you know, you've got quite a following already, good support, and I believe a good amount of teams coming again this year. Tell us a little bit of give us an overview, Andy, of what we can expect.
So I think we follow on from the same theme that we've developed over the last 2 years, which is the college town environment in the East Complex. All the teams will be stable together. And in the East Complex on the concourse there, they set up their tents, and we have an office there that is all based around the intercollegiate championships. So for me, the carrying on the success that we had the first 2 years of keeping it in the same area where everyone gets involved very much. We have the Spirit Awards again this year, which is sponsored by Virginia Horse Trails, where the winning team gets their entries refunded. And that's all about team camaraderie, how they behave, how they work as a team. Do they have the right atmosphere going on? Is it fun but safe? And looking at some of the stuff that's on social media already from the colleges, they're getting themselves all geared up for that side of things.
Now, obviously, this is the go-to event for young people in college, an opportunity for them to find their pathway through the sport, and we hope go on to other things in eventing, Andy. So give us a sense of really what they can expect, especially if they've not been before, and the families too, you know, of what is available on the grounds during the competition.
So we're lucky we host the event at the Virginia Horse Center, which is a fabulous venue. There's eight barns full of stables. As I said, College Town consists of a barn and an area which is an indoor arena. The event we run, I think this year we're going to start probably somewhere around 450 horses in total over the event. We range from beginner novice all the way up to two-star competition. So there's all different levels that these college people are going to competing at. The arenas, we've got something like 10 outdoor arenas on site, or weather arenas. If it does, the weather gods don't help us and we have some rain on the over the weekend, we tend to move show jumping inside, but our preference is to have it outside. We've got a beautiful arena up on the top of the hill, which just has all the atmosphere. So our aim as an event is to be a fun event with atmosphere. The town where Virginia Horse Center is, it's in Lexington, Virginia. Everything is close. So probably the furthest you travel to go to a hotel is 3 to 5 miles. There's probably, I think there's 8 hotels within a 3 mile radius. Same with restaurants, they're all within maximum of a 5 mile radius from the horse center, which just creates everything that you're not traveling once you're there. Because some of these teams will have come from down in Georgia, from Texas, from Maryland, from Kentucky. So they're coming from all over the East Coast, be it north or south. We have vendors right the way through by the arenas, and I know we've got a number of good vendors coming again this year. So you'll get to see there's a few of the good horse shops, and then saddleries. I think there's one of the new horse truck places coming along. So the venue's, for me, just a great venue for them to come to.
And let's talk about the officials. Who will be officiating this year, Andy?
So we've got, for the FEI classes, the president and the ground jury is a gentleman called Tim Downs. Tim first came to us last year. He comes from England. He's been a 3- and 4-star judge now for, I've known him for probably 20 years. So he brings a good class. And then he's supported by Helen Britnell and Sarah Smallwood from the US. Sarah is looking at promoting up through the levels, so she's there as her learning process, which is something we at Virginia encourage. The national judges, we have Helen's doing the intermediate and the prelim, and then Kimmy Steinbeck is doing her first event ever as a licensed official. She got licensed recently. She's a rider, and so she's the president of the grand jury for the training and below. Our TDs, our local horse trials TD is Muffin Penzance, and Muffin is a local to Lexington, Virginia. And then John Williams is going to be the TD for the FEI classes. And lastly, with officials, the course designers. So one of the things we do at Virginia is we have a mentor program. So David Taylor has joined us end of last year, and he's designing the beginner, novice, and novice. John Michael Dorr joined us nearly 3 years ago in the mentor program. He's now progressed, and he's doing the one star. He also does the prelim and training. And for the two-star, I'm actually designing it. And the intermediate, JM and I are doing together. So we've got a good, strong bunch of people.
Talk us through the schedule for the event that starts on the 24th through the 27th. So what does that look like, Andy?
So the one star starts with their horse inspection on Thursday. Then one star, two star, prelim and intermediate start on Friday with dressage. The two star, the intermediate, and the prelim all show jump on Friday. And then on Saturday, the beginner, novice, novice and training all start. Some will do they'll all do dressage, some will then do cross country, and the others will do show jumping. And then on Sunday, we will have cross country and show jumping going.
Now, what about the side attractions? I know these young riders like to know what parties there may be.
So we always have a welcome party on the first. I think it's going to be Thursday night for the intercollegiates. We do a parade with all the competitors in the East Complex, and then we put on a bit of a party then. And then the main competitors' party is on Saturday night, and that's in the Coliseum, and that's open to everyone from the competition and their relatives, and it's hosted by Virginia Horse Trials. There's no tickets or anything. It's people riding and associated with those riding.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about this year's championships, Andy?
No, look, I think the key for me is we're continuing on what has been successful. We want everyone to have some fun. We want the team camaraderieship. And looking into the future, we're hoping that I know they'll potentially be announcing where they go next at the closing ceremony. And our aim is hopefully the people who is hosting it next will take on the themes that we've started and built on so well.
Absolutely. Well, an exciting future for the championships, Andy. I want to thank you very much indeed for taking time out to come on the program and telling everybody what's available at this year's championships. That's the 2018 Intercollegiate Championships taking place May 24th through the 27th at the Virginia Horse Park in Lexington, Virginia. Andy, the very best of luck with this year's event, and thank you for taking your time as always.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing everyone in a couple of weeks.
Well, I'm joined now by John Michael Dewitt, who is the course designer for this year's event. John Michael, welcome back. I think we've spoken before about this competition, haven't we? So welcome back to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about what riders can expect this year, because there's some will be coming back and there will be some new riders, of course. But before we do that, having spoken to Andy Bowles just now, he reminded us that you came up through their mentorship program, didn't you, at the Virginia Horse Trials there, through the Intercollegiate Championship Mentorship Program.
I did. He was the first one before my wife and I moved east to bring me from the West Coast to the East Coast. So it was my first East Coast course, and I got to mentor under both John Nicholson and then Mark Phillips, and now I do a lot of the track.
Yeah, so how does that feel coming through that prey? How much did that help you and prepare you for flying solo?
Oh, it helps a ton. I mean, when you talk to other course designers as well, the hardest thing is standing out in the middle of a field and, you know, saying, well, now what are we going to do? But, you know, just having a point of reference with the property with some other more experienced people has really been a huge benefit.
So this year's event, of course, you have various levels that you're designing for. Talk us through them and what you've prepared for the riders this year.
Yeah, so the facility is really unique as it has two cross-country courses, one on what we call the Horse Center side and one on what we call the Oak Hill side. And I think Intercollegiate has people that go all the way up through one star, if I remember correctly. Maybe even two star, I don't know. But yeah, so they each have, you know, the international tracks are all on the Oak Hill side of the road, and the national tracks are all on the Horse Center side of the road. And yeah, a little change this year on the Horse Center side, a bit of a different start. It'll be hopefully a little smoother for them and get them into a rhythm a little sooner. And then everybody's favorite giant oxers will then come at the end of the course instead of at jump three. So I think that should make them quite happy. And yeah, nothing extreme this year, just a lot of tweaks and moves around, really trying to find the best thing on the best bits of ground and really getting it really dialed in. I think this will be one of the best years yet.
So how many efforts would they be looking at then, John Michael, over these different tracks? How many jumps?
That's got me on the spot. I believe there's 31 in the one star, and then on down to 18 to beginner, novice, and everywhere in between. How about that?
That sounds pretty general. That gives them an idea anyway. And in terms of creating new fences for this year, did you prepare anything? Did you look at the course last year and think of new things that you could do to it for this year's event?
Yeah, this year we just sort of, last year I really wanted to really, on the national side, fix the start quite a bit and really open that up. So that's really where the majority of the effort went on the Horse Center side this year, was really getting that to be the smoother start, which I hope it will be. And then we did quite a few changes in the middle of the year last year. So there's not quite as, there'll be big changes for people who have only come to the Intercollegiate, but if they're at the fall show, there won't be too many extreme changes.
And how many portables do you use then, John Michael? And I mean, I'm curious as to how much actual construction you have to do as distinct from how many portables that you have at your disposal.
Yeah, it's different everywhere we go. Here I'd say it's probably 80% portable. There's not many permanents, which is nice. Inevitably the few permanents that I use, I seem to always want to turn them around or whatever. So, and Andy's really good about, you know, having a vision that things are going to change and that sort of thing. So we keep things fairly portable at the Virginia Horse Center. And, it really gives us all the options. So if I put in a new loop and it's not as smooth as I thought it would be, I can just move that loop somewhere else, which is quite a privilege.
And as a designer, I'm sure you stand back at the end of it and say, oh, well, this is going to test them at this spot on the course, or there are signature fences and there are fences that you know that may be a little bit more testing. What are you most proud of the course that you've designed this year to be the best test?
I'm actually really happy with everything at the lower levels, the national levels, prelim and down. I think the tracks will expose any hole, any one of a variety of holes in your training, but I don't I don't suspect any one thing will pile up the stops either. And I suspect that, you know, if your horse goes leg to hand and listens to your half halt, you won't have any trouble, which is what I really shoot for at the lower level. And then for the one star, yeah, I added in, again, not any one thing stands out, but, you know, there's a couple places where that if you can't hold your horse on the line, you're going to have to come back and try it again.
It's as simple as that, isn't it? What do you most enjoy about designing then, John Michael, especially at this level and coming up through this this mentorship program? What's the most challenging, the most fun for you?
The part I most enjoy about, you know, designing, and the part I find the most challenging, is really the same. You know, if I've done my job right, every horse should finish a bit better than it started, regardless of what the rider did. And, you know, I like to say that at the Virginia Horse Trials, instead of riding and teaching 10, I'm training 500. And that's the pressure I put on myself, is that I've got to get all those horses finishing better than they started.
Well, that's certainly an ideal challenge for them, and to finish with the confidence that you always hope as a course designer, I'm sure. Well, John Michael, anything else you would like our listeners to know about this track, the Shears Tracks, before you go?
No, I mean, I think I really believe we're headed to one of our best years yet. The ground's as good as I've ever seen it. The tracks are as good as I've ever seen it. And hopefully a bunch of riders will come out and make us look good.
Well, we hope so. Well, thank you very much indeed for taking time to come on the program and telling us about it. And the very best of luck with the Shears event, John Michael.
Oh, thank you so much.
And a reminder that the event takes place at the Virginia Horse Center in Lexington, Virginia, from May the 24th through the 27th. And as you heard, there are lots of ways to find out more about this program by visiting the website at useventing.com or contacting the office directly. And my thanks again to our guests this week, Rob Burke, Leslie Threlkeld, Andy Bowles, and John Michael Durr. Don't forget, you can join in the conversation, of course, through our social media channels. Just look for US Eventing Association's official channel on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you want to subscribe to this podcast so that you don't miss an episode, just hop over to iTunes and look for the US Eventing Association's official podcast. We can be found on any podcast player or app. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time with more news and guests from the USEA. Until then, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.